Matthew chapter 5. The message today is our Savior's estimation of the wonderful Word of God. I want to read several passages, all of them the words of our Savior. So listen to what he says about the wonderful Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Now chapter 24. This is the Mount of Olives discourse. And he says at verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And now, John chapter 10. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. And now chapter 14. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you while yet abiding with you. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. And now chapter 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and shall declare it unto you. And now back to Luke 24. Our Savior is speaking on the road to Emmaus to Cleopas and his companion, and they are telling him all they know as to what transpired on this resurrection morning. And in verse 25 he says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Behooved it not the Christ to suffer the things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And another passage in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the passages that we have read from the Gospels. We thank you for everything that's contained in the Word of God. We're especially thankful for the precious words that he himself spoke. Lord, what teacher is like unto him, the teacher you sent from heaven? There are those that are of earth who have given us wonderful things. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared, he hath led forth the Father and revealed him. We thank you for the fullness of the revelation that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We desire our Father to understand his estimate of the Word of God, because knowing his estimate, it shall become our estimate. We shall embrace it, and we shall be upon an immovable foundation. We thank you for all that he told us about it, and we desire to understand it this day. So by the Spirit, who guides into all truth, guide us and teach us and build us up upon our most holy faith. We thank you for your goodness to us this past week. And again, we think of those who have been so sick, and those that, if predictions are true, shall not be long with us. But we're thankful for the times that they have been here. And we're glad to know that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. So, our God, let the truths of thy word strengthen us and comfort us and build us up, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It should be an obligation for every child of God to do what I compelled myself to do this past week concerning Christ's estimate of the wonderful Word of God. Let me tell you how it all started. I've been studying the life of David, and that compelled me to look into how many psalms David wrote, and I found out that there were 75 in all, 73 that bear his name in the psalms, and then two more you find that are attributed to him from Acts 4 and Hebrews 4. And so half of the psalms are written by David, and I checked that out, and this was so. And then I wanted to find out how many of the messianic psalms were written by David, and so I checked that out. And so there are 11 messianic psalms that were composed by David. And so, having studied that in the Old Testament, I said, let me look in the New Testament and see how many of the psalms by David, how many events in his life, are recorded in the Gospels and are recognized by our Lord. And that is when it all started. Because having looked and seen the psalms that are there, then I had to look and see what other parts of the Word of God were there as well. And this is for your advantage this morning that I tell you these things. At times, the Word of God is spoken of simply as the law. Let me tell you why. Ordinarily, we think of the law as the Ten Commandments or the first five books of the Bible. But you'll find that Christ, at times, spoke of the law, including the whole Bible. Because he said in John 10, it is written in your law, I said you are gods. And that's not in the law. That's in the Psalms. And so here, our Savior includes all the Old Testament under the word law. But I read to you from Luke 24, giving you the threefold division that it's broken down into when we look at it, not in one sweep as the law, but broken down into three parts. He speaks of the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. So this is what I had to start doing then. I had to look up all the references that he spoke of in the law, and then the Psalms, and then the prophets. And this is what you will find. That in the law, there are five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And I said, how many of those books did he quote from? Did he refer to? Did he couch his words in the language of those words? And I found out that he quoted from every book in the law of Moses, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I said, well, that's fine. Now, how many Psalms did he refer to? And I looked that up, and I found out that he referred to 18 Psalms. You say, well, 18 out of 175, 150, that isn't very many Psalms, but this is what is important. You'll find that just as the Old Testament is broken down into the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, it has its divisions, so you'll find that the Psalms are broken down this way, 1 to 41, 42 to 72, 73 to 89, 90 to 107, 108 to 150. And he referred to 18 Psalms, and you will find some Psalms contained from each division of the book of Psalms. Now that's most important, because he did not quote 150 of the Psalms. How big would the New Testament be? But in quoting from 18 of these Psalms, he has taken some from the first, second, third, fourth, fifth division of the book of Psalms. And so the next thing that was left was the prophets. I said, how many of the prophets does he refer to? And you will find that he referred to 11 of the prophets. And he referred to the major prophets and the minor prophets. And so I rejoice and think 11 different prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, you'll find Jonah, Joel, Hosea, Zechariah. You go through all of these prophets. The great prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, but what about Joel? What about Micah? He quotes from all of these prophets, and having done that, it shows, think now, that he embraces the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, and he trusted them all as being the revealed Word of God. You do not know how thrilling that was to discover it, because if somebody mentions something, and quite often you'll read in the Gospels, and you'll see that Jesus referred to something in the Old Testament, you'll say, well, that's interesting. But when you look at it as a whole, and see the grasp that our Savior had of the entire Word of God, it is thrilling to your soul. If I ask you to give me one quotation from every prophet, from every book of the law that he quoted from every psalm that he quoted from, you wouldn't be able to do it. But he was able from memory to give all these quotations. He understood them. Now, this is what is so amazing. Most people think that Jesus being God, manifest in the flesh, that of course he knew these things. What is it that God doesn't know? That's true. But our Savior, being God manifest in the flesh, was going to live his life on earth in a certain way. And Satan and others suggested he live it with exemptions as the Son of God. Our Savior has done without food for 40 days, and Satan says, you're the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. You're not to go through life hungry. You're the Son of God. That's true. He is the Son of God. But the privileges that are his as the Son of God, there are also the responsibilities that are his as the Son of Man. And wondering, and this is what is so of great importance, that Christ himself tells us how, as the God-man, he's going to live. When Satan said, you are the Son of God, the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan said, live with exemptions as the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. So when God was manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus, according to the will of God, developed as every man has to develop. I want to quote you two scriptures. This will be enough. It says in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You say he increased in wisdom. Then the Lord Jesus lived as a man. As God, there was nothing he could increase in. God neither increases nor decreases. God is all in all. But even though our Savior was God manifest in the flesh, he and his Father decided that he was going to live as a man. And if God is omnipotent, tell me, who do you think, when our Savior was born, had to lift him up and put him to her breast? You say his mother. Of course she did. And just as in the case of Samuel, and this is what is so interesting, it speaks of Samuel, this little boy that grew up before God. It speaks of the Lord Jesus who grew up before God. And it says that every year, Hannah made another suit of clothes, a little garment for her son. And do you think that when he was 3 years old, she made them the same size as when he was 5 years old? You say no. And then, when he was 10 years old, you say no. Well, then Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. From a little baby, he grew, and then he crawled, and then he walked, and then he became strong. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So you say, well then, Jesus developed apart from sin, like every man developed. Of course. And since he increased in wisdom, just as I went to school in Boylan Heights in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I had to learn A, B, C, D, so our Savior had to learn Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He, Wow, Zion, Kaf, He. Our Savior had to learn his alphabet as well, and learn how to spell out certain words in the Bible. And instead of Jesus, he had to learn how to spell Joshua, because that was his name, you see. Joshua and Jesus, they are interchangeable names, the Old and in the New Testament. And so our Savior increased in wisdom. What does it mean? It means that though he was a son, this is Hebrews 5, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience. So what does it mean? You and I would like it if, when it came to the Bible, we would say to God, God, just miraculously put into my brain everything that I should know about the Bible, and then life will be so easy. Because God could have put in my mind all the things that took me hours and hours and hours to tell you this morning in a few minutes, but God did not do it. I had to search them out. The Savior said, search the scriptures. And that is what he did. And so our Savior, from a child, learned, and this is the marvel, that our Savior And I would wonder where he acquired all of these scrolls of scripture to learn as much as he did from each book of the Old Testament. But he had them in his possession, wherever they were. You would hardly think that they would be in Nazareth, but they were. Our Savior had access to these scriptures from which he quotes. So here is Jesus, and it means that all the references that he quotes from in the New Testament, that he knows, they are in his mind. Think of this now. When Satan came and tempted our Savior, he said, "It is written." It would be good if we had a Bible and could open it and find it, but our Savior had committed to memory the scriptures that were necessary to fight off Satan, the god of this world, when he subjected him to his temptation. And therefore, he not only knew the psalm that Satan quoted from, Psalm 91, but he knew also the portion in Deuteronomy that would balance out the truth of Psalm 91. Yes, Psalm 91 does promise that God will give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all your ways. And some people say, well, he left out part of the psalm. The Lord Jesus made no mention of that. He acknowledged that the Father would take care of him, the Son, by his angels. And as soon as Satan finished tempting Christ, angels came and ministered to him. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel came and strengthened him. And so the Lord Jesus is not contradicting Psalm 91. It's absolutely true. But this is his wisdom in understanding the scripture, that Psalm 91, that God will take care of you, must be modified by, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." God has said he's going to take care of me. Well, now, I think I'll jump off this high building and see if he's going to take care of me. The Lord Jesus said, no, that is not what God wants me to do. And so our Savior not only knew each scripture in itself, but he knew the balance between scriptures when he said, "Again, it is written." And this is what thrills your soul, that our Savior increased in wisdom, that he applied himself for 30 years in getting a grasp of the Word of God as man. And after those 30 years, when he came forth, he was invincible. That is the thing that is so thrilling. You see, what we do is they say, "He's God." Do you understand that even the prophets in the Old Testament were expected to search the scriptures for themselves as much as possible? You'll read that Daniel, in chapter 9, did not get a revelation from God about everything that was going to happen in the future. But he said, "I have been reading in the book of Jeremiah, and I discovered a length of time there." And so he searched that out for himself. But he did not know how long it was going to be until the Messiah came. And so God, at the end of Daniel 9, gave him a revelation concerning that. So all the things that we are able to discover for ourselves, God expects us to discover for ourselves. And then, if there are things we cannot discover, then God will miraculously impart them to us. So think of this now. The grasp of our Savior of the Word of God, and it is a marvelous thing. Think of all the prophets that he quoted, and it says, if everything he did was written, why, heaven itself couldn't contain, the world itself couldn't contain all the books that should be written. And so evidently, our Savior was familiar with everything that is contained in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, the next thing is this. He understood what the Old Testament said about other men, what it said about particular men, and what it said about himself. Speaking of the Savior at the feast, it said many believed on him, but he did not commit himself unto them because he himself knew what was in man. The Lord Jesus knew Jeremiah 17, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know it. And he said in Matthew chapter 15, out of the heart of man proceed murders, theft, fornications, adulteries. He said all of these things are in the heart of man, and they proceed out of man. The Lord Jesus knew what was in man because God had taught him from the Old Testament, God his Father. And at the same time, he knew concerning a particular man. This is what is so remarkable, that in John 13, before Judas Iscariot betrayed him, he said, the scripture must be fulfilled. He who eateth my bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He had read that scripture, and he knew it referred to Judas Iscariot. And the difference between us and all other men and Christ is this, that we search the scriptures to try to find out what they say about Christ. But Christ, as he searched the scriptures, came upon the portions in Daniel, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah. He came upon all of these portions, and he says, this refers to me. And he knew every day what prophecy was going to be fulfilled that day in his life, throughout his life. And on the cross, he understood that there was one scripture that had not been fulfilled. They gave me gall for my food, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. And this scripture had not been fulfilled. And so the Savior says, I thirst. And they took the vinegar and put it to his lips. And he said, it is finished. That our Savior knew every scripture from the time he came into the world until the time that he departed out of this world. He knew it, and he lived by it. Now, that is what is so thrilling. And the only thing that I can say to my benefit that is like the Savior is this, that I've tried to see the Word of God as a whole and to incorporate that into my life. To make whenever something happens in my experience, I try to look through the scriptures and see if there is anything there that is like unto it, because our Savior did. Let me give you an example. This came to me when I was studying David's life. And in 1 Samuel 21, it is David going and getting the showbread from the high priest at that time. And when the Lord Jesus and his followers are going through the grain fields and they are hungry, and his enemies think that they are doing something that is forbidden. And the Lord Jesus immediately thought of an incident in the life of David and his disciples that was like unto himself and his disciples. Here is David and his followers, and they are hungry. They need food. And here is the Lord Jesus and his followers, and they are hungry, and they need food. You see what I'm telling you? Whatever happens in his life, he looked and he saw it in the lives of others. This, when it speaks about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, I challenge you to show me one portion of scripture in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy that says anything about the sufferings of the Messiah. And yet the Lord Jesus said everything that is written in the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. And it says he opened to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Should not the Messiah have suffered and entered into his glory? And so then this makes me understand about my Savior and his understanding about typology. Why? Do you think that our Savior was ignorant that there was Abraham, the father who had an only begotten son, Isaac, and the father gave his son a sacrifice upon Mount Moriah? You think that our Savior knew nothing about that? Of course he did. And he knew everything about King David and his followers. He knew everything about King Solomon. The Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. And this is what we should do. If there is joy in our life, if there is suffering in our life, if there are decisions to be made in our life, search the scriptures. And if events happen in our lives, often you will find something that happened in the life of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph or David, something similar. And it is a consolation to see these similarities. And you can draw strength from those portions. And they shall comfort your hearts, as it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. And then it says that Jonathan came and strengthened David. And so you will find that others can come and give you scripture and strengthen you. But at times you have to search out the Word of God itself for yourself and find the portions to strengthen you. And what happens is that we go through life and we fail to understand the hard things that come from God into our lives. And we say, why did this ever happen? Whereas if we had read the book of Job, we would do as I had done. When I phoned Dick St. John, and knowing all that he's gone through and the future concerning him, and Dick said, how is it going with you? And I said, Dick, in the light of all that's happened to you, I have no complaints at all. I don't even want to think about what I might say about myself. And so in like manner, when we're going and we're complaining to God about our sufferings, about the loss of friends, about the way the world treats us, and then you look at Joseph, the suffering one in the book of Genesis, and you look at Job, and you look at Jeremiah, and you look at David, and how his step, his life was but a footstep from death, you'll find that he was chased as a partridge upon the mountain. And then you think of all they went through, and you shake your head and you say, I'm not worthy to even mention any of the things that have come into my life. And so our Savior, in comparison to us, knew everything. That is the marvel. Certain months of the year, the month of June, they will phone me from Federal and say, we want you to speak to us on heaven and hell. We want you to speak to us on the book of Joshua. We want you to speak to us on the miracles. We want you to speak to us on the life of David. And so, what does it mean? It means hours and hours and hours of study, but then I go and do that, and I begin to understand a little bit about these books of the Bible. In the life of Christ, it was necessary for him to study and grasp every book of the Word of God. And he had to discover in every book of the Word of God the things concerning himself. Why? Because in a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, our Savior opened unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He was able to take from each section of the Bible his sufferings and the glory that should follow, and he was able to show them. And why I say it's so important for you to know the typology of Scripture, the pictures as well as the words. Now, we know this in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They are words telling of the sufferings of Christ. But when you read in the law of God, you read no such words as those. But you read how a lamb without spot and blemish was taken and slain and burned upon the altar. And our Savior himself gives us the hint concerning as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you see what Christ had done? He had read about Moses lifting up that serpent in the wilderness, coming to the aid of all those that had been bitten by those deadly, fiery serpents. And when they looked at that serpent lifted up, they lived. And the Lord Jesus said, Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. He said, I have to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. But I'm trying to get you to comprehend that your soul may be thrilled if that Christ had looked at every portion of the Word of God and had seen everything in it that referred to Him and His suffering, had seen everything in it that referred to His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, His coming again. That's when they tell me, you studied the book of Joshua. Then I study and study and learn a little bit about Joshua or about the life of David. But our Savior for those 30 years had studied the Word of God as a whole, and He knew everything in it. That is the marvel. He knew everything that was in it, and He knew things also that were not in it. What do I mean? When they came to Him and asked, now, it is written in the law that if a man marry a woman and the husband die and leave the woman childless, she's to marry his brother. Well, in brief, she married 7 brothers. They all died. Now in heaven, whose wife is she going to be because they all had her? And nobody on earth knew this except the Savior. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures of the power of God. For in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God. Nobody knew that, but the Lord Jesus did. He knew everything that was written in the Bible, and He knew all that was associated with what was written in the Bible. Every problem that confronts man by reading things in the Bible like that. So here is a woman that had 7 husbands, and there are going to be problems in heaven. They are unsolvable. Why? They cannot be resolved. The Lord Jesus, in a moment, resolves every problem that arises. And so, if you read in the Bible something, and you see that it's plainly stated there, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. I want to know what the scriptures say. And then I want to know the power of God. And therefore, I may see a problem that arises when I have a scripture that seems to be interpreted this way, but I can't resolve it. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus resolved it in a moment. So that is why we trust in His Word. And I hope someday that I can look at the 119th Psalm with 175 verses and cause my heart to rejoice in it, to praise it, to glorify God, to live in it, the way the one who composed or those who composed the 119th Psalm did concerning the Scriptures, because the Savior did. Now understand this, that I told you a few of the things, the way that Christ interpreted the Scriptures, and if you know and look at it as a whole, you will never be concerned when a modernist comes, when a liberal comes and tries to tell you certain things about the Lord Jesus and what He did know and what He didn't know and the mistakes that He made interpreting the Word of God. You'll burst out laughing, and you will laugh Him to scorn in the light of the revelation of Jesus Christ and His life in the Scriptures. And this is what God would have all of us to do, to know the Word of God as Christ knew the Word of God, but to look at Him as He interpreted the Word of God, as He lived the Word of God, as His life was immersed in the Word of God. It was His whole life. If there were anything that God had told Him in the Old Testament, He would not improve upon it. He would quote the Old Testament. But the marvel is this, that He not only knew what it said in the Old Testament, but He knew how to interpret what He said in the Old Testament. And here is a blow to the modernists saying that Jesus did not know, and He simply accepted what these Jews knew and how they interpreted the Old Testament. He corrected them when they had false interpretations. That is a remarkable thing. When you read Matthew chapter 23, you'll see how they interpreted the Old Testament, and then the Lord Jesus corrects their incorrect interpretations and tells them the correct interpretation. He shows them the depth of the commandments of God this way. You have heard, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that every man that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in the heart. It says, thou shalt not kill. But I tell you that if you hate your brother in your heart, you're guilty of murder. Do you see what I'm telling you? That the Lord Jesus knew the correct interpretation, and he knew its ramifications, and therefore there was nothing that was beyond our Savior's power of interpretation and comprehension. And it said, Jesus increase in wisdom. So let that be a challenge to us, to trust the Word of God as he did, and to hide God's Word in our heart. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know that we've had inklings about the great worth of the Scripture. Let us know that it's thrilled our hearts as we've read it ourselves with our little understanding. We are compelled to imagine how it thrilled the heart of the Son of God as he saw it in its perfection. We are thankful, our God, that he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Old Testament scriptures shall not fail, shall all be fulfilled. We are thankful, our God, for Christ resting upon the bedrock of the inspired word of God. And we pray that when the enemy would come and take the word of God promised and our confidence in it, that we shall hear what your Son said, and our rest shall be where his rest was, upon the infallible word of God. So bless our souls in this examination of Christ's estimate of the wonderful word of God. In his name we pray. Amen.